Today's text is found in your pew Bible on page 180. It is Deuteronomy, just like saying that, Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20, and found on page 180. Listen and hear God's word for you today. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and if you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land which you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and cleaving to him for the means, for that means life to you and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me again? Merciful God, as we stop and consider these your words, we ask you to speak once again to our hearts and minds, not just as the congregation, but as individuals, so that as we move from this place of worship into the mission field you have given us, we might be faithful. And more than just faithful, we might today be encouraged. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I wonder if you would agree with me that we are living in strange days, working in strange times and strange places as the church. I'm finding it in that way hard to know what to hope for, and even at times hard to know what to pray for I feel I am being swamped with negativity almost daily, from every angle I could think of. And I'm not being cynical about this, because as we know, I'm never cynical about anything. I assume that's in your heart too. It's a heavy weight that presses down upon us, just as the clouds this time of year seem to hang a little lower in the sky, pressing upon us. Strange times, strange places, strange things. On January 30th, Rear Admiral Barry Black, who serves as the 22nd chaplain, Senate chaplain, in his prayer to open the day's impeachment proceedings, said this. He said, quote, "Eternal Lord, you have summarized ethical behavior in a single sentence. Do for others what you would have them to do for you. Remind our senators that they alone are accountable to you for their conduct." Unquote. Quickly, social media blasted off into orbit and attacked based on what Black said. Pundits on both sides of the aisle said that Black was, quote, "preaching to the opponents, admonishing both sides of the aisle to join their holy quest against the other side of the aisle." But if you listen closely to what the former chaplain of the United States Navy said, you noticed that his prayer directed the audience right to Deuteronomy. He didn't just say that the senators in the chamber were to love the Lord your God, observe his commands and decrees and ordinances, but it was clearly present in those words. They alone are accountable to you for their conduct. Everyone would say that they want to obey God, follow his word, serve as Jesus serves. And even if you and I think that the other person is not doing that, we can't deny that maybe they're discerning God's will in a different way. just makes one big mess if we're not careful. Thankfully, the rigidity of Deuteronomy 30 is helpful for us in this moment. It reminds us how public our lives and our faith and our practice of that faith truly are. As I think about the messy, relativistic society that we live in, I begin to wonder about how the Bible is uniquely crafted to help with this. On the one hand, as you read passages like Deuteronomy 30, it feels as if Moses' words are so rigid, so unforgiving, that just by reading them, we are doomed. Forget about consider and try to adopt. But that is the moment when I remember that the Bible is primarily a narrative, not just a theological exposition on a topic. We know this is true in the New Testament, where Jesus tells a lot of stories to his followers. Then when they ask him to explain what he means, we don't understand Jesus. What does he do? He tells another story to explain a story. The stories are piled up upon one another in an almost never-ending stream of narratives. This is true also in Deuteronomy, although it doesn't seem like it. Contextually, for 30 chapters, Moses has retold to the Israelites the commands, the decrees, the statutes God requires of them that they learned in the desert multiple times on multiple occasions. He begins and ends seemingly every chapter, every verse, every phrase with, "This is what the Lord your God commands you." But as soon as he finishes telling the Israelites those rules, those statutes, the instructions of God, Moses frequently supplements his teaching with a narrative about their time in slavery, about the time in the desert when they were hungry or they were thirsty and their God provided. The stories give real-world application to what God's word means in their lives. The stories, he said, were about everyday things. But they had an odd characteristic to them of lingering in the mind and becoming stronger while becoming more complicated the more they thought about them. So they could never quite be sure if they had got to the end of the message Moses was giving them as they repeatedly went back around on that story. This is also seen in the application of the text for today that Tony read for us. In that pericope, Jesus begins by selecting three very serious offenses in the law of Moses: murder, adultery, and divorce. The people of his day already knew they were not to commit these sins. Moses had told them that already, a lot. These lessons were taught generation to generation to the children. But the stories Moses tells and the way he narrates the lesson leads the people to consider internally, where are the places and who are the people that I am guilty of harming that no one save God sees? And that is what Deuteronomy 30 begins. That's where it begins the painful work with us. Heaven and earth are watching, even if we don't realize it. We come to the moment in the text where we are confronted by the harsh reality of God's commands and our inability to keep consistently to them, to adopt them in our lives. The more we examine our lives in the face of God's law, we see that God seems to be setting up an impossible situation. We can't keep all the Ten Commandments consistently, even if we tried. I'm being gentle even in that. Combine that with heaven and earth are watching us fail, and the whole thing seems to fall into messy, gloomy faith to live into. And we're back where I started this morning, saying this is a strange place we're working in. God's law is given to us, and we can't keep it. But what if the opposite conclusion for today is true, is possible? What if the messy world we live in, the world of judgment and division, of hate speech and overgeneralizations that exhaust us to read and to hear, the world in which we find ourselves every single day, is not waiting for us to fail? What if heaven and earth are being called against us as witnesses in verse 19, not as witnesses against us in judgment, but as the possibility of testimony for us? What if the people we think are here to judge and convict us are actually a reminder that God trusts us with a law that is hard, if not impossible, to keep. A life that will always be under scrutiny because God knows you are faithful. Even if we know we're going to fail at it. What if it's possible that God trusts you that much with this tender, gentle message of his love for the other people? And it's presented to us here in this passage. In one of the most cherished, favorite TED Talks I've ever heard, which you can find online if you want to view it in totality, Annie Lamott offers the audience, her audience, the 12 things she's mostly sure of in life, and if it's nicely with this idea. For those who do not know who Annie is, she is a liberal Christian and activist who speaks from her heart about her relationship with God and how she struggled to even accept God as an addict when everyone around her resented God so much. As a recovering addict, she fought the notion of God's existence at every turn. How could an intellectual conceive of the divine? Now, on the other end of her struggle, her honesty is refreshing and disarming. In that talk, she says this: "We cannot arrange peace or lasting improvement for the other person we love the most in the world. They have to find their own ways to God and to God's side. You have to release them. It's disrespectful not to. Everyone is screwed up, broken, clingy, and scared. Even the people who seem to have it the most together. They're much more like you than you would believe. So try not to compare your inside, your faith and the application of it, to the other person's. It will only make everyone else worse than you already are." She goes on to peeling back layer after layer of life's lies and society's projections. Sure, in the talk, she's talking about being a good writer and sprucing in a little Jesus for anyone who wants to find it. But the overtone of her entire talk, the point of the passage of Deuteronomy is this: God understands you cannot do it. Keep the laws, the statutes, and decrees. He understands that. And while God asks us, even commands us to do it, to keep the ordinances, the decrees, he is setting us up to fail in that way so the person of Jesus can free us from it. He knows the world will watch you fail. He knows I'll fail at it. If we're really honest about it, I suspect he expects us to fail. And further, he trusts us enough that while heaven and earth are called as witnesses against us, perhaps they are there as witnesses for us. We are accountable to God, as Chaplain Black reminded the U.S. Senate. The message of God is hard to hear at times. It can seem almost too hard to keep. But the narrative around the text reminds us of the story of our redemption that God began so many generations ago. Heaven and earth are watching. I wonder, what in you will they see? Someone trying to live, as Lamott hints at, perfectly and properly? Or are they going to see someone who is honest with their struggles, with what the Bible means for them, with how they're not able to keep it up? People getting it wrong. And when they get it wrong, they lean back upon God's grace and begin again. Let us pray now together.